It's good to see everybody tonight. You know, you think you prepare for this for months, and you think that it's never going to get here. And then you look around, and it's like, oh, wow, it's tomorrow. Is what I was asked to tell myself last night as I was preparing and making them final adjustments and making sure that I had everything lined up to come up here. And it's always such an honor and a blessing to be able to share thoughts and share God's Word and share how it speaks to me and for what it says. And not of my thoughts, but what God tells us. You know, as Dave said one time in he shared with me, don't be mad at me for what I tell you, because it's God's Word. It's God that talks to us. Just like when Paul wrote down through the New Testament all his letters to the churches, that was God speaking directly to us. And that's something that we can smile about and that we can put our trust in and that we can hang our hat on. And all of our worries, all of our anxieties, all our troubles, we can hang our hat on that God is talking to us directly if we're in His Word. And that's a comfort. That's a comfort. It comforts me, and I hope it comforts you guys as well. Now, I think last year I was here, and we talked about fear and anxieties, and so I concentrated on that a lot last year, fears and anxieties, and also distractions. Distractions, things that plague us, things that hold us back from the true love and truly understanding who God is, what He does for us, and how we can become more in contact with Him on a daily basis. And so last year I dedicated my life to understanding His and the passion that Jesus Christ had, the passion that He had and the love that He had for each and every one of us. Before we were born, He died for us. And He shed His blood on Calvary's cross so that we could be here tonight and we could have the freedom that we enjoy today, and thank God for that. We don't have to worry about someone telling us we can't worship God. We can worship Him 52 times a year. We're able to worship Him on the first day of the week. And we're able to take of Jesus Christ, His blood and His body, to remember His death, burial, and His resurrection. And that is so important that we do this. And we can worship Him 365 days a year. On top of that, every other day besides the first day of the week, the other 52. So do your math and the subtraction there. But tonight I wanted, it's been on my heart to look and really at what wisdom and knowledge is, and deciphering what is wisdom and what is knowledge, and understand that God's wisdom is far above anything that we can ever imagine. The wisdom that God instills in us is the best wisdom and knowledge that we can inscribe into our minds and into our hearts on a daily basis. Because that's ultimately the only way that we can get through this life just as Jesus Christ did. Now, we're not going to be perfect like Jesus Christ. We're not going to be sinless as He was. But we can become more mature Christians every single day. Because the goal of our Christian life is that we're better today than we were yesterday. And that tomorrow I'll do something better than I did today. Because we're examining ourselves every single day, 2 Corinthians 13:5, as it tells us. If we do that, we will further our knowledge, and we will further our wisdom, and further our understanding of what God does, of who He is, and why it's so important that I give my entire life to Him. And that everything that I have in my heart, I can glorify Him. So tonight we want to start off in Proverbs. And I was going to start in the second chapter, but I'm going to start here in the first for just a minute. In Proverbs 1, if you have your Bibles and would follow along, Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So to receive the wisdom and instruction is to perceive it, is to look at it and dig it in and figure out what the words of understanding are. What God is truly saying. It's not what we want God to say to us, but what is God really saying? So in verse 3 he says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. He says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. He says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So that's the number one key right there to our Christian life, is we all always talk about is that we want to increase in knowledge. We want to increase in understanding. James tells us that if we lack in these things, to ask, and He'll give it to us. But He says, a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And to understand a proverb and the interpretation, He says, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there's going to be those that do not want to, that are not able to accept it because they can't get their own pride out of their life. They can't get the things that they've learned in this life out of their minds. And so he says, fools despise wisdom and instruction, but we don't want to be fools. We don't want to despise God's wonderful Word. We don't want to despise His wonderful instruction that He has laid out there for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was our ultimate example, that we can follow Him, that we can read His Word, and that we can immerse ourselves in His love, and immerse ourselves in who He was and what He did, and His passion, His desire, and the courage, ultimately, that He had. The courage that it took for Him to stand up and to walk through the streets as people were hollering at Him, people blaspheming Him, people loved Him, people hated Him. And that's similar to what we face today in some situations. Not everybody's going to like us. Not everybody's going to understand us. Not everybody's going to agree with us. And that's the fact of life, because we all have opinions. But God, when it comes to God, He has one opinion. His opinion is that we do His will. It says that in Matthew, it says that the first and greatest commandment is that we fear God and keep His commandments. Or that we love God with our heart, mind, soul, and our strength. First and greatest. And the second is to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, and Brother Dave, as we're just coming down here, he said it all wraps around one thing, one four-letter word, and it's all about love. It's all about love. Love what you do, love in what you say, love in how you act, and love God for the Word that He inspires us with every single day. So in Proverbs, the second chapter, he says, my son, he says, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, it means treasure. He treasured the commandments of God, what he speaks. He says, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. He says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. He says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord. So it's only after that we incline our ear unto understanding, we incline our ear unto the wisdom of what God, how He speaks to us. To incline means to lean, to tend, or to become drawn towards an opinion or a course of conduct. So if you look at it, it says that so that you will incline, he says that we'll become drawn to it. We will become drawn to the wisdom of God. We will draw our ears unto the wisdom of God, and that we will apply our heart to understanding. And then after we do that, we cry aloud. We want the knowledge. We search for it. That's the love that we have to have for God's Word in order to fully take ourselves out of this world mentally, and to spiritually fill our lives with what God wants us to know. That we take everything out, the distractions, the chaos, that we've got to do it in 5 minutes, I want it in 30 seconds, the right now, not in 5 minutes, type of mentality that the world has come to know. He says, yeah, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up your voice under understanding. And the key here is that we seek it as silver. You ever lost money? You ever lost $100? Ever lost $10 or $15, $20? And you search your jacket pockets, you search your pockets, you search everywhere for that money because you need that money. You worked hard for that money. Well, God has worked hard at giving us eternal life. God worked hard at giving us eternal life because He had to ultimately send His only Son to die. That's how serious it is. That's how awesome God is. And that's why he tells us that we seek it as silver and search for it as hidden treasures. In that sincerity, in that urgent necessity, he says, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And that, brothers and sisters, that is what I want for the rest of my life. And that is what I'm working on day in and day out. And I hope and pray we all are working on that, to understand what the fear of the Lord is. What exactly is the fear of the Lord? And to fear the Lord is to find the knowledge of God. He says, for the Lord, in verse 6, he says, for the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth and cometh out, or excuse me, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. So, with the proper preparation, with a proper understanding, and with a proper relationship with God, we can understand spiritual wisdom. But without the proper relationship, it makes it almost impossible to understand what spiritual wisdom is, what the Spirit of God, who He is, and what He does, and why He gives us so many opportunities. And that's how I know God loves me. It's not by what He gives me, it's not by what He does for me, but it's by the opportunities He has presented for me. And I hope it's presented for you, because there's opportunities all around us. Paul writes to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Paul said, he says, we have received not the spirit of the world, he says, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And you know, when we look around, we look at what God has freely given us. The only thing truly that really honestly matters that God has given us that's free to us is the salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. The salvation blood of Jesus Christ holds everything in that. Everything we do, the way we act, the way we conduct ourselves, it all reigns on the fact that we become children of God, and that we have remission of sins through baptism, Acts 2:38. But he says, the Spirit from God which we receive through baptism, having our conscience cleansed. That's the freedom I'm speaking of. That's the freedom he's talking about. He says that, and it was freely given to us. He says in verse 13, which things also we speak, he says, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, he says, but in the Holy Ghost, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, the Holy Spirit, which when we were baptized, we'll back up. We talk about God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We're baptized for the remission of our sins. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive this wonderful gift that if we're immersed in God's Word, that the Holy Spirit will help us to learn these things. The Holy Spirit kind of leads us. You know, things, just one example real fast, this is how God works. And when we're suffering with situations, we're suffering and we're in a particular trial, we're in a particular mountain that we're trying to climb and overcome, and we're relying on God through it. My wife's been struggling with comparing herself to other people because she's in direct sales, and it's so easy for any of us to do. We look around at people and we're like, man, if I could only get to where they are, or if I could only sell or do what they're doing. You start comparing yourself to other people. You start comparing yourself to the success that somebody else has, and you take your eyes off the success that you have. You take your eyes off the success that God has blessed you with. And then this morning I got an email talking about how comparing yourself is the worst possible, how it's the easiest way to self-destruct and to quit. And when I got that, I was like, it was chills, because I was like, that is what she needs. So I sent it to her, and it was just, that's how God works. when you're in Him, when you're wanting His wisdom and you're searching and you're relying on Him for all things. That's what God does. But He says, which things we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom that teaches. He says, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. In Proverbs 9 and 10, He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge is holy in understanding. Notice, knowledge is holy in understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we have to study God's words to know what it says. And like the example I was given, we know the stove is hot. And if we touch it, we know that it will burn you. So the knowledge is the fact that I know the stove is hot. But the wisdom comes in and tells me, hey, if you touch it, it's going to burn you. So ultimately, wisdom is the fact that it's knowledge that we act upon. So knowledge in action is the easiest way I know how to put what wisdom is. Because ultimately, I used to think wisdom is, so you had to have white or gray hair. I mean, ultimately, when you think of wisdom, you think words of wisdom always come from older people. And older people do have the most wisdom because they've experienced more. And so, from experience, we look at Jesus Christ and we see the experience that He had and how He was able to overcome, how He was able to heal, how He was able to love, even with all the bad things happening. Things that we say are bad, even when all those things happen, Christ was able to keep His eyes on the ultimate purpose, and that's God Almighty. He was able to keep His eyes on God and serve Him with all His love. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, we're going to back up just a second here. Paul comes into here and he says in verse 2, I'm going to start in verse 1. He said, "Now, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." He says, "Declaring unto you the testimony of God." He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ, Him crucified." He says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words," not with words that were arousal of attraction. It means enticing, means arousing, strong, attractive words. He says, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He says, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power. So we see Paul trusting in Jesus Christ. Paul trusting in the Word of God that Jesus had given to him through the Spirit. He allowed God's words to speak. As we should, as we do. That we allow God to speak where He speaks. It says in verse 5, He says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but that it stands in the power of God. So the things that we know in this world, we have to put them aside of our spiritual life. We have to make sure that the wisdom of this world is not leading us day by day. The wisdom of wanting more and more. The things that we look at, wanting bigger houses and the best cars, and that we're letting those things rule our life. I'm not saying those things are wrong by any means. But we're not allowing those things to take place of the most important thing, and that's the love of Jesus. We're not letting those things dictate how we live or what lengths we're going to get it. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, Paul's letters to Timothy are so inspirational because I look at Timothy as he's a young man, is what Paul says, that he's a young man. So I relate a lot to Timothy and how Paul talks to him, because a lot of things in Scripture, you have to put yourself in them to really get the fullness of what God says for me. And it may not be for everybody, but for me, it's put myself in the situation and put myself in their place like they're talking directly to me, face to face. 1 Timothy 1 and 7. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit, but He's given us of power, of love, and of a sound mind, of an understanding mind. And that, my friends, that is when gaining wisdom can be accomplished. When we understand that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of power, He's given us the spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. Those things there are a combination of wisdom. With gaining wisdom, these things can be accomplished. Because it's not that we want to fear things in this life, as we've talked about, and as I've practiced shedding from my life. But that we fear God in place of anything in this world. We come to an understanding that fearing God, as we talked about at the beginning, that the fear of God is how we obtain wisdom and understanding of His Word. Because it shows that we respect Him. And that when we respect Him, we give Him the most earnest care. And we give His words the most earnest heed. We listen to Him. We let Him direct our paths. And we let it lead us. 1 Timothy 1 and 4 and 5. This is important that we don't give heed to fables. He says, neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. He says, so do. He says, but now, the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of a pure faith. It says, faith unfeigned, of a pure faith. That we understand that we have to have a purity about how we embrace God, how we come to God, how we hold God in position of what's most important in our life. So we don't count on the stories, we don't count on the things that we hear outside the world to dictate how we act. We don't allow things on the news to dictate how we're going to worship. We don't allow those things affect how we raise our kids, and how we love our wives and our husbands, and how, most importantly, I can't say it enough, how we love God, and how we love Jesus Christ and what He did for us. But He says, but love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and out of pure faith. Godly wisdom in this produces the outcome of what we desire. So remember, whatever our heart desires, that's what we're going to chase. If we're desiring to be here tonight, if our desire was to be here, you know, you're here tonight. And I hope it was because you wanted to hear God's Word, that you wanted to be in the presence of other like-minded individuals so that you could be uplifted through the middle of your week. Because I love hearing people speak and I love hearing God's Word, because it only takes one word, and I told Brad this today, it only takes one word and it can change somebody's life. You just never know what you may hear. And that's what I got that from Brother Dave, that one word may change your life. And ever since he told me that, I've never been afraid to speak. I've never been afraid to share my thoughts. I've never been afraid to write letters and to post messages. Because you just never know how you can touch somebody. And that's what God's... And godly wisdom in understanding that we love Him out of a pure heart, and that we have a good conscience, and we have a good conscience because we've been baptized for the remission of our sins, because it's pleasing to God, because it's an obedient, because it's in obedience to God, and that our faith is pure. And then our faith is pure in the right things. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 2 and 5, and we'll see what... And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 5. 1 Corinthians 2 and 5. when we're back here. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God. Faith should only stand in the power of God. I know we just covered that. We just talked about that. But the point of that was the fact that what he told Timothy, love out of a pure heart, out of good, with a good conscience, and with pure faith, and that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If we love, just like he told Timothy, if we behave ourselves and we act like he told Timothy, in Romans, in 1 Corinthians 2 and 7, he says, "But we speak the wisdom of God." Let's start in 6. We've read the rest of it. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not perfect, but mature. He says, but yet not the wisdom of this world. He says, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. He says, even the hidden wisdom. So what is the hidden wisdom? It says, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So my question to myself was, what is the hidden wisdom? And the only thing I could figure was it's the fact that Jesus Christ was the hidden wisdom, because the Jews, because the people, the Pharisees, and all these people that crucified God, they had the Old Testament. They had the prophecies of Jesus Christ coming and what he was going to do and what was going to happen to him, and Isaiah's prophesied. And the fact is that they couldn't see him as he was. They could not accept him for who he was. In Romans the 16th chapter, backs this up for me. Romans the 16th chapter, Paul also told them in 16:25 and 26, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you, he says, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, he says, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So in 1 Corinthians 2 and 7, he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He says this, that it was revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. He says, but now is made alive by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, he says, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. And he says again, and he also says in Ephesians, the third chapter, told the church at Ephesus here, Ephesians 3, 1-9, he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. He says, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. He says, whereby, when you read, that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. And he says there again, he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. He says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. He says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that not only should he preach these unsearchable riches, but to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. He says, who created all things by Jesus Christ. By all things, we were able to come and break down the wall, middle wall partition. We were able to come into the fold. And we were able to take what God has given us, and that we can be sanctified, and that we can have our sins washed away because of Jesus Christ. through all the mystery, through all the things in the beginning of the world that were hid, and they were created, all things by Jesus Christ. So as he said here, he said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. So Jesus Christ is the key to the hidden wisdom that's in this world. Because it was hid through him. He shared it to the apostles. And the apostles share it to us through this word, through the Holy Ghost that God has laid upon them. The fellowship of the mystery to bring to light what once was hidden. And that's the way we get, the way we receive it, the way we're given it. We ask of God. God knows our heart. God knows who we are on the inside. It doesn't matter what we look like on the outside as much. But that on the inside, people can see us for who we truly are, to see us for what we truly want out of life. Colossians 1, and one thing to bring this up was in them missing the picture of Jesus Christ, missing the picture and the lack of wisdom that they had. You remember the Pharisees and these people, these high leaders that killed them, they saw that Jesus Christ was, they thought he was just a normal individual, just a normal man. And they had the knowledge in their hand, showing them who he was, showing them basically that he would be coming and what would happen. And they still turned their nose to him. But Jesus said in John the 6th chapter, in 26, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," he says, "you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." He says, "Labor not for the meat which perishes." He says, "but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Well, before this happened, he had fed the thousands with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes at the beginning of this. If you go back, he walked on the sea, and he had fed them with such little of what we consider 5 loaves and 2 fishes wouldn't feed that many, but it fed thousands. And then he goes on to tell them, he says that in verse 48, he says, "I am the bread of life." In John 4 and 14, he says, "If you drink of the water that I give you, you shall never thirst again." That's the wisdom that they did not have. They did not. They had the knowledge, but they didn't act on the fact of believing what the Messiah was really telling them. They did not act on the fact of the knowledge that they had. And that's what makes the difference in our Christian lives, is if we act upon the knowledge that we have and use the wisdom that we see in it. Use the wisdom that we see in this word every day. Trust in it. Lean unto it. Just like Joseph. Joseph, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, he trusted in God. And all throughout Genesis from 37 to the end of the chapter, he trusted in God, or until he died. He trusted in God. His faith was so strong. And that's so inspiring for me, is to see what all he went through. Read it when you get a chance. I just finished doing a study on it, and it's impacted my life so much by seeing his faith. Colossians 1 and 26 and 27, Paul wrote, he says, "Even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations," he says, "but now is made manifest to his saints." He says, "to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you." Which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. He says, "whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." That's almost what he just wrote to the church at Corinth. You know, so there's got to be a connection. And the greatness of God's Word is it's all connected. God's Word is just this one wonderful, complete, bound book. This wonderful ball, just a circle. that we must stay inside of. That's where all the wisdom is. The wisdom is inside of it. And the only way to get it out is that we pull it out and we ask God for it. To make known to us what is the riches of His glory. And then the key is that we're His saints. In 29, he says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." That we can trust in this. We can love it for what it says. And God will bless us immersively for it with the wisdom that we want. With the understanding of what God, of how God talks to us and what He wants us to know. Understanding that God's wisdom is so great, it supplies us with a state of mind that sets the real truth right in front of us. That's what understanding God's wisdom does and has done for me and can do for each and every Christian that you know. Is that it is the state of mind that sets the real truth right in front of us every day. Jesus Christ is what matters when living day to day. That's the wisdom that I've gained from the knowledge that I've learned, that I've taken in from these holy words, from this holy scripture. That's what I've learned. That's my wisdom. Is that I know that Jesus Christ is what matters when living every single day. I have to start my life, I have to start my day with Him, and I have to have Him throughout my day, and I have to have Him at the end of my day. And that's how you learn to see God. That's how I've learned to see God for who He is. That's how I've learned to respect God for what He does and how He helps me and how he is always right. That's the best thing about it. God is always right. God is the only one. There is only one God. And He is the best. He is our living water, as I said in John 4:14. He's the bread of life, John 6:48. And He's our strength. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our deliverance. And you can read that in Psalm 18. He's our strength. He's our rock. Our fortress and our deliverer. Because He's delivered us from the hands of death. He's delivered us into the light of Jesus Christ. And by understanding the sense of wisdom and using our knowledge and action, that we can avoid bitterness, we can avoid envy, we can avoid conflict or discord, we can avoid hatred, and we can avoid the plague of negativity. We can avoid these things. James tells us how. James tells me in the third chapter, James 3:13, he says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" He says, "Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." So here tells me that I don't have wisdom, I don't have this understanding and this knowledge to be boastful in any way, to be like, "I know more than you." He doesn't say to use it pridefully, but he tells me that, he says that with meekness of wisdom, that we take this wisdom and that we harness it, and that we control it, and that we let it fill our lives, and that in a sense of humbleness, of humility. He says, "But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts," he says, "glory not." He says, "lie not against the truth." He says, "But the wisdom descendeth not from above." Hey, or this wisdom descendeth not from above. He says, "But it's earthly, sensual, and devilish." He says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." And this is true. This is so true. If you look around and things that happen and things that we go, "Wow, I can't believe this is happening." But it's all, if you look at the reasoning for things happening, it typically comes from one of these things. Bitterness, from envy, people want what other people have, and going to any lengths to get it. And it's caused conflict, people are killing people over the minute things in life. people kill people because people pull out in front of people on the interstate. People kill people because somebody looked at them wrong. And this is true stuff. It's hatred and negativity. It's because people don't have the love of Jesus Christ is what it all boils down to. Dave talked about the other night that focus on Jesus. Focus on preaching Jesus. Focus on living in Jesus. Focus on that because that's what saved 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost. Is that just simply preaching Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. His life and what he did and what he does still. He says, for where envy and strife is, in verse 16, there's confusion in every evil word. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's easy to accept, easy to read, easy to listen to. It's full of mercy. It has good fruits. It's without partiality. And it's without hypocrisy. And without partiality to me is really big because it's not one-sided. And what I mean by not being one-sided is we're not closed-minded individuals. That we can look at God's Word and we may take it for, we may think it says one thing and then somebody else kind of points it out and says, let's look at it from this point of view. And look at it and that we're accepting of that sometimes in certain situations because that's when we have to say we're wrong. And sometimes you can get, we're humans, we make mistakes. And that's when not being one-sided sometimes works out. Especially if it's only if it's the truth, I should say. And that we're not hypocritical. That we're not hypocritical of what we believe or what we feel and what we say. Don't be hypocritical. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So that's how God has cleared it to us as Christians that we can harness wisdom in such a way and we can take the wisdom and the knowledge that we have of God and we can use it in righteousness and that we can sow it into our life and that we can trust in it because it sows peace of them that make peace. That's what it's all about. Jesus Christ didn't come down here with a sword trying to tell people they were going to worship him. They would die. Jesus Christ killed people with love and kindness and meekness, humbleness. And that's what we as Christians have to portray to the world, to these people that are lost, to these people that don't know who God is or what he does or how he's been able to bless us so much. That's beyond, it's beyond imagination. Wisdom becomes an attribute when knowledge is applied. So just as the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5th chapter 22 and down, and in 2 Peter, those Christian characteristics, those fruits of the Spirit, those things, when just like those things are attributes, wisdom's an attribute as well. In Colossians 3 and 10, he says, we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man that we have put on in Romans 6, 3 through 6, that we once we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we've put on the new man. And we should walk in the newness of life. He says, the new man we put on, that we put on the new man, and that we've been renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And the only way that we can renew in knowledge is that we renew ourselves every day in God's Word. We renew ourselves every single day in God's Word. What we did yesterday, it doesn't count for today. What we do tomorrow doesn't count for the day after that. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, he tells us, he says, that we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but that we're rightly dividing the word of truth. And as we rightly divide the word of truth, that we will be able to avoid those that we will be able to avoid that form of godliness that he, Paul talks about to Timothy in the third chapter. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know, by being enlightened by God's Word and having this knowledge and this understanding, sometimes people have all the knowledge in the world. People can read this book front to back, but they don't have the wisdom about it. They don't know how to use it. They don't know how to use the knowledge that they have. And that's the key thing in our Christian lives, is that we use the knowledge to our benefit. We use the understanding to our benefit. And that we ask God every single day for the knowledge. And that we will be enlightened by His Word. That we will be in, that will be pushed up. That we'll be on fire for God. That we will have a new understanding of what our life is all about every single day. That we're trying to put one foot in front of the other. And I have one more scripture, and we'll close tonight. In Psalm 37:4, he says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So remember, what are you desiring tonight? What is it that you desire? Is it that you desire the wisdom from above? Are we seeking after the wisdom of this world and the knowledge, filling ourselves with the knowledge of things that are here, that are only temporary, things that we cannot take with us, the things that we will no longer be able to see once we're turned back to God? And ultimately, I hope that's what we're first searching for. If there's anyone here that's never obeyed the gospel this evening, you've heard the word here, Romans 10:17. You have to hear. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. You repent of your sins, Acts 17:30, Luke 13:3-5, and Acts 3:19. You repent of your sins. And to repent of your sins means that I'm not going to live in sin anymore. That I'm sorrowful for the sins that I have committed against my Lord. And that then I'm going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10, that we will confess Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, that He was a real man, He did walk this earth, and He did set the example for us, and that we're baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. If there's anyone here that's obeyed the gospel, maybe need to come back into the fold of Christ this evening, or just maybe need the prayers for strengthening. 1 John 2:1, He gives us an advocate with the Father that we can come back and ask for prayers, and that He would add us back into His side. So if there's any way we can give assistance this evening, as we let us stand and sing as we sing the song that's been selected.